I'd love to try and paint a picture for you of a scene and a circumstance that I cannot get out of my head this week. I want you to picture Jesus after he has found out that his cousin and the forerunner of his glory has been killed. Jesus' friends have arrived after they themselves have been out preaching and teaching and healing, and they have seen the power of this Christ actually flowing through them. And in the midst of his grief and exhaustion, he says, "Let's go away." And off they go. But the crowds hear, and the crowds follow, and they almost beat him to the place where he's going. And when he arrives, he has compassion on them, and he feeds them all. 5,000 men, women, children on top of that. Who knows? 8, 10, 12,000. All have been fed from the hands of the master. And I love in Mark 6's account, Jesus sends his 12 disciples away by boat, and he stays, and in his own wonderful Jesus way, he sends the crowds home. And knowing him as we do, he's shaking hands with some, hugging others. The sweat, the smell of humanity all around him, and he loves it. He's crazy about them. And when they are all gone, the disciples are far out on the water now of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus goes up on a hillside to pray. And you can imagine his sandaled tread up the dusty, dirty side of the hill, gravel crunching underfoot. And as we do, he's thinking through his day. He thinks it before and in the presence of his Father, even before he sits down to pray. And the dusk is coming, and the colors of sunset hang over the water. And he rests before the Father. And he says, "Father, what a day. I'm so, so tired. But this is why I came." And I think he sits and just delights to be quiet and still and allow the Father and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to just wash over him. Night falls, the coolness, the smell of eucalyptus and sage on the air. And still he sits. Still he is content to just sit with his Father and remember how it was in the throne room of heaven. But in Mark 6's account, we get the best detail of all. That when it's dark, he can actually see his disciples out there in the boat, struggling at the oars because the wind was against them. The moon is out. The sparkle of moonlight on the water, flickering, lighting up their struggle as he sits in perfect calm and watches. And at some point it occurs to him that he might just walk out there. And now he re-walks down the hill, feeling very, very filled up with the goodness of his Father. And it's that same crunch of the gravelly tread underfoot. He stumbles over a bush, has to jump over a few rocks at the base. But I want you to see him as he walks with steady tread down to the pebbly seashore and doesn't break his stride and begins to walk directly out onto the water. And we know that the water is pitching and troughing. It is stormy. It's windy and choppy. And I don't think it's an easy walk on the water. I think that at times he gets thrown and he's jostled back and forth. And I think there's a grin of delight because I don't know if he's done this before. He knew he could. But tonight's the night. Now I want you to picture the disciples struggling at the oars. And if you have ever rowed a boat when it's hard and the wind is against you, it is terrible. And at first they're rowing and they're strong and their hands are fresh. But pretty soon the friction against their hands is pretty unbearable. Their backs are starting to get strained. And soon they're into a repetitive motion where they're just staring down at the hull of the boat, and they're just rowing like machines. They're not even thinking about it anymore, and they are struggling, and they are missing with their paddle and struggling as the waves slap and knock against the boat. And I think they're looking down, and I think they probably miss most of the approach of Jesus. I think he makes it almost all the way to them before they ever glimpse him at all. But at some point they look up. And that is when the drama begins, especially in Matthew's account for Peter. My friends, do you see him walking out toward you? Do you actually see the look on his face as he makes as if to come alongside them, coming right next to the boat when he could have given them a wide berth? It's beautiful. My question for us, as we are in the middle of a week, are our heads down? Are we rowing as if for our life? Are we struggling and straining against the winds? Are we just boats beating against the tides? Or do we look up and do we revel and delight in the fact that this one walks on the waters? This one has sat with the Father and has come down the hillside and didn't miss a stride as he walked out onto the water simply to be with us. He is that present today. When you hear me speak these words, he's right there with you. In fact, the one who walks on the water lives in you. How delightful. Do you smell the eucalyptus in the air, the sage underfoot, the sound of the gravel, the pebbly seashore, the lap of the water? And do you see Jesus, who no barrier can stop, who no natural barrier can stop from getting to you? Oh, would you look up from your struggles? Would you look up from your oars? And would you see him coming for you? He never ceases to come. That's Jesus. Thank you for listening.